Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Hey, take your Bible out, whether it's in book form or digital form. I want you to hold it high in the air. And we do this to get our hearts ready for the teaching and preaching of the Word. Will you say this after me? This is my Bible, God's holy Word. I am what it says I am, and I will do what it says for me to do. I place myself under the authority of God's Word. It says I am blessed, therefore I am blessed. It says I am an overcomer. Therefore, I overcome every obstacle, every challenge, and every hindrance through the name above every name, Jesus Christ. I open my heart and I open my mind to receive God's word. I receive this word and I confess this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today is the long-awaited day for many. The big game, the Super Bowl, is going to be played. Ladies, you'll get your Sunday afternoons back after the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is scheduled to be played at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. And the teams playing in the game are the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Can you say amen? Come on. Now, the Chiefs had a win-loss record of 11-6 in the 23-24 season. The 49ers had a win-loss record of 12-5 in the 23-24 season. You know, the 49ers are favored to win the 24 Super Bowl against the Chiefs, and they have a 2-point advantage in the latest odds. Not that you're going to be betting or anything tonight. But you know what I like? I love the stories of couples who others said they're not going to make it. They're going to have a miserable life. And then they break through all the negativity and they actually make it. Can anybody testify you're still here? Anybody testify you made it? Can anybody testify what others spoke against you? God has turned that around and God's done a miracle in your marriage, in your life. Well, today I want to use a football analogy to further understand the dynamics of a healthy marriage relationship. And today concludes our series on the love factor. And I've titled this the Super Bowl of all Super Bowls. The truth of the matter is tonight, no matter how great of a fan we are, it is just a game. But your family is more important. Your family is the Super Bowl of all Super Bowls. Your marriage is what is going to still be there tomorrow. And you're going to keep working on it, keep growing. And the Lord's going to do something great. And just as a football team requires a solid game plan to win, so too does a marriage require a strategy to win. Now think about this. The Super Bowl isn't won on the day of the game alone, but through countless hours of preparation and practice and dedication. Just like that, strong and healthy families and marriages are built over time. With love as its driving force. And today we're going to explore the love factor in marriages, drawing parallels between a successful football team and a successful marriage. And just as football has progressed and changed over time, so too has marriages. Husband and wife responsibilities have changed, goals and happiness realized. I want to show you a video clip of what the NFL used to look like. Ball You'll see the field goal is a different location. You'll see that the field is not lined like they are today. Hey, guys, help me out here. Here we go. Here we go. Now, look what it looks like today.
48 seconds to go at second and 10 with three receivers to the right. Browning, looking. Pressure closing deep. And the ball is caught by T.
Higgins at the 1 yard line. Look at that touchdown. Look at that pass. Now, most of us would agree the game has changed and progressed over time. Well, so has relationships, so has marriage. Look at what my great-grandparents looked like in the 1930s. That's not really my grandparents. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. I couldn't. As soon as I heard, oh, I knew I was in trouble. That's actually Gabe's great-great-great-grandfather. I'm teasing. Anyways. Jesus, forgive me, please. Look at marriages today. Isn't that beautiful? Truth of the matter is, the idea for us to understand is we must continue to grow as people. We must continue to grow as partners, as husbands and wives, and we must continue to grow as families. When we grow together, we will win together. Can you say amen? Amen. When we grow together, we will win together. There are some verses in your notes I want you to take note of. One is Proverbs 24:3-4. A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. Notice it's talking about the foundation and how wisdom, godly wisdom, causes the foundation to be strong. But not just the foundation, the rooms are filled with all type of valuable things. Showing a life in a family that is whole, that is prosperous, that is good. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul writes this: don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So run with purpose in every step. And this is so important when it comes to healthy relationships. This is so important when it comes to our marriage or even to our family. Run with purpose in every step. Yeah. And Paul said, I'm not just shadow boxing. In other words, this is the real thing. We are in life, the real thing. 2 Timothy 2:5, Paul writes to this young pastor, and he says, athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. There are some rules in life that we need to follow. The first thing we're going to talk about is this. It takes teamwork. Write that word, teamwork. Now, in football or any sport, teamwork is crucial. Each player has a role to play, and the success of the team depends on each player carrying out their role effectively. In marriage, both partners must work together as a team. Last week, we looked at Ephesians 5:21, where it said this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And mutual submission is an essential aspect of teamwork in relationships. It's about working together, realizing we both have the same goals and we share many of the same desires. See, working together toward a common goal. When trouble happens or hard times come, then strategizing together on how to win the game. I promise you, both teams are strategizing today how to win tonight. A sports team works together. They work on being on the same page. You know, it's tough to have a healthy marriage when we're both on different pages. It's tough to have a healthy family when people are on different pages. We have to be on the same page. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 out of the Message. It'll be here on your screen. I have a serious concern to bring up with you, Paul writes, using the authority of Jesus, our Master. I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. Now, Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, hey, listen, I got something really serious to talk about. Matter of fact, I'm coming in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's in his apostleship. He's using all the authority that he can muster up. And he says, this is important. It's urgent. You must learn how to get along. You must learn to be considerate, cultivating a life together. Now, I know Paul is writing to the church, but what a great verse to apply to our marriage. Get along. Learn to be considerate. Cultivate a life in common. Cultivation takes effort, takes work. And what I'm learning after 35 and a half, almost 36 years of marriage, there are different seasons in marriage, and you have to keep cultivating each season. You have to keep working. Write this. It takes effective communication. We're talking about teamwork, effective communication. Just like a football team practices regularly to improve their coordination and their understanding, couples need to communicate regularly to understand and fulfill each other's needs. There's a verse in Proverbs that says this, Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in setting of silver. The right word spoken at the right moment is powerful. What must we do? Sit down and regularly talk to each other. A principle, many of you know that I enjoy doing counseling. I do a lot of counseling. And some of the principles, they transcend almost any situation, but especially with family members or couples. So I show them and teach them the importance of sitting down and just having a conversation. Oh, we talk all the time. Yeah, you talk past each other. You talk as you're running here and they're going there. Our schedules are so full. Our schedules are so packed. And it's not bad. It's just life. I mean, we're trying to improve in our careers. The kids are playing sports and we got church activity. And we're running. We're talking. But we're not sitting down and just talking to one another. And then this is important. Listen to how you say something. Listen to how you say something. Now, this isn't just marriage. This is really in any situation, any relationship, any family. Listen to how you say something. You can say the right thing at the right time, but in the wrong way. And guess what? It isn't heard. How you say it is so important. Ephesians 4:29. Let me read this out of the Message. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word a gift. Do you see that? Each word a gift. Look at the words you speak of as a present, as a gift. Now, think about the holidays where you give gifts. You give gifts at Christmas. You give gifts on birthdays. Men, you give gifts on Valentine's Day. Valentine's is Wednesday. Come on. You give gifts. Now you put thought and effort in those gifts, right? You're not going to give them. You're not going to give them a bag of coal, right? You're not going to give them something that you don't think that they'll like. Your words are the same. Why would we give words that are unhealthy, words that are not pleasant, words that are talking down? Yeah. I think we could do a lot if we begin to view our words as a gift and allow the Holy Spirit to help us use those words in healthy ways. Can you say amen? Paul said this in Colossians 4:6. He says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. The NIV says this, your conversation's always full of grace and seasoned with salt. Hey, ladies, the next time your husband maybe spouts off or says something in a wrong way, just say, hey, pass the salt, please. Come on, it'll help them realize, hey, you need to say that in a little different way. You need to, because tone means a lot, right? Tone means everything. You can say, I love you, or you can say, I love you. You can say, I appreciate you, or you can say, I appreciate you. And both those things mean different things in different moments, because we got to season our words with salt. We're talking about teamwork. We're talking about mutual support. When a team faces challenges, they regroup, they strategize, they help each other. I promise you at halftime, each team tonight is going to regroup. The one that's ahead, they're going to say, hey, we can't give up. We got to make sure we're doing right. Let's stay to the game plan. That team which is behind, they're going to change some things up tonight. They're going to change some things up at halftime. And sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you have to change some things up, but you have to be on the same page. Which next, let's talk about what it takes to have a winning marriage. It takes not only teamwork, but it takes strategy. Every great football team has a strategy. They plan their moves to outsmart their opponent to win the game. There's a playbook. And I promise you, the 49ers are coming up with a playbook, and they feel like the Chiefs don't know what it is. But Chiefs, being a better team, has a playbook that is really going to outsmart the 49ers tonight. The team with the best strategy is going to win in the evening. Stay with me now. It's a powerful sermon. This is tough. You got to thread the needle right here. Write this. You got to plan together. A successful marriage, successful family always requires a strategy. To have a strategy, then it will take planning. I mean, the teams have been working with their members to come up with a strategy, to come up with a plan. You remember the opening verse we used, Proverbs 24:3? A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. And through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and values. When I think of marriage, I think of family relationships, I think of the strategy to keep love alive. See, I think a part of a strategy in a marriage is to keep love alive. And it's done by, I think, a couple of things. One is this, investing time and effort into the relationship. It takes investing time and effort into the relationship. Good marriages don't just happen. Healthy families just don't happen at the end of the day. It takes effort, it takes time, it takes a strategy, and then you have to have a commitment to loving each other. A commitment to loving each other, a love that goes beyond the emotion, a love that goes into the commitment. And I'm thankful for that emotion. I'm thankful for those feelings. But I also know as you walk through some stuff together, as you walk through some storms and you survive those storms, you become stronger, you become healthier, and guess what? Your love grows deeper. Your love grows richer and fuller because it moves from just an emotion and it moves into a commitment. Another thing it takes is this. You got to exercise patience and kindness. Now, write that word patience because I want you to write it. I said this about a month ago talking about patience. We have this idea, don't pray for patience. It's almost like it's superstitious. Oh, if you pray for patience, oh, a storm's going to come. God's going to get you. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. You have patience because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And what you got to do is allow that to be developed in you. Listen, you should pray the prayer. God, give me patience. God, give me self-control. Lord, help me. Help me be patient in this situation. I get the old idea. I get this idea. But listen, we're not governed by luck or by chance or by happenstance. We're governed by a loving God who orders our steps. And he wants you to have a successful relationship. He's working and moving. So exercise patience and kindness one to the other. I love the description of love in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient and love is kind. We must strive to exhibit these qualities in our interactions with our spouse, with our kids, with our family members. Now, we're talking about strategies. Get a plan together. You have to keep love alive. You got to exercise patience and kindness. And listen, you got to forgive often. It's a strategy in relationships. Now, just as a football team doesn't dwell on a missed goal, but seeks to move forward, so should couples forgive each other's mistakes and move forward. You say, well, one is just about points, and the other one's really about how I feel. I get it. But a team that misses a field goal and they dwell on it will get stuck. And unfortunately, there are a lot of relationships because of something happened, they're stuck. Because all they can dwell on is the mistake, the missed field goal, the hurt, the betrayal, the pain. It's important. It's important to work through those things, but it's important also not to get stuck, not to spend too much time on that. Seek counsel, seek wisdom, and seek forgiveness. Begin to exercise forgiveness and keep moving forward. I love what Paul says to the church of Colossae in Colossians 3, verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And often we stop right there, and it's powerful. But notice the next verse, verse 14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Make allowance. My translation of that is this. Give room. Don't expect perfection. How many times do we expect perfection and we get disappointed? And because the expectation of perfection is there, then that hurt is much deeper. Truth of the matter is, we all need a Savior. And I'm not making excuses for wrongs. What I'm saying is face those things, but also make allowance in your relationship so that there may not be perfection, but there'll be God's love. And he says, forgive. Now, the Greek word means this, to give graciously. It means to counsel. It means to forgive. It means to pardon. And to pardon means to release from the penalty of, to wipe away the guilt. So tonight, if a team misses a field goal or they're on the 3-yard line trying to push it in and the opposing team holds them up, they have to find a way to put that behind them because the game is still going, because the game is not at the end yet. And church, hear me, life is still going. There's still room for your marriage to be healthy and whole. There's still room for God to work. So give opportunity for those things to happen in your life. And then he said this, clothe yourselves with love. When I think of that word clothe, I think it's to envelop yourself. Clothe yourself with love. Ladies, the best way I think I can describe this is this. Your kids that you gave birth to. I mean, immediately, the love you have for them, because you carried them for 9 months. You gave birth to them in pain. And out of that pain came life. And as your kids get old, guess what? Sometimes they're going to step on your heart. Sometimes they're going to disappoint you. But you know what doesn't change? Is your love for them. Because you see potential, because you know, you understand that sometimes they're going to make some mistakes, but you love them beyond that. And that's the type of love I think that we need to have one toward the other. Clothe yourselves like a garment. Envelop yourself in the love of God. Now, the third thing is this. What does it take to have a winning marriage? Remember your shared goals. I think this is important. Write the word identify. Identify your shared goals. Now, a football team's shared goal is to win the Super Bowl. They're working together. They're training hard. They're willing to make sacrifices to achieve this goal. What are the shared goals you have? Now, some of this can be, hey, we want to raise our kids to love Jesus. Let me encourage you, raise kids that will love Jesus, but not only love Jesus, love his church. Now, I come from the camp, I don't think you can love the one and not love the other. And I really don't understand this movement of the church, because the church is the bride of Christ. Now, you want to make me mad? You can talk about me. You can get upset with me. You can get angry with me. But when you start to talk about my bride and you start talking and picking on her, then we got a problem. I am from Two Egg, Florida. And we do like to take care of things sometimes. So that's what happens when you talk about my bride, because I love my bride. I know my bride ain't perfect. I know. You are, baby. You are. But listen. You're the same way. I mean, you can take insults. You can take injury. But let somebody talk about your husband or your bride. And like, man, I'm ready to take care of some business. Well, how can we love Jesus and not like the church? I mean, the good, the bad, the ugly. I realize the church gets messy sometimes. I realize people get hurt in church. But hear me, it is his bride. Now, I'm just like taking this analogy, like, I don't want nobody messing with my bride. I can imagine Jesus like, don't touch my bride. Listen, I'll deal with my bride. You worry about getting in the fold, staying in the fold. So your goals are like raise kids that love Jesus and love his church. Maybe a goal is serving God together. Maybe a shared goal is growing old together in love and happiness. Paul said this to the church of Philippi, be like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and one mind. I think this is important when it comes to shared goals. I think sacrifice is the key. Just as football players have sacrificed time and comfort for the sake of the team, I think couples must make sacrifices for each other. And we preached on this last week, Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. Do you know what? We also have to trust God in the process. Talking about shared goals, we lay things out. We talk about our goals. And we got to work toward those things, but we also have to trust God because our steps are ordered by him. Trust God to guide you toward those shared goals is crucial. Now, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You can't talk about trusting God without talking about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Let me read this out of the message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. How many of us have tried to do that? Figure out stuff on our own. Don't make God the last resort. Make him the first. Right. Don't try to figure it out, and then when it doesn't, say, oh, God, I need you. No, trust God in every aspect of your life. Listen, verse 6, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. God is speaking to you. You have koinonia. You have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Day by day, you enjoy fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you. Ask the Lord to help you listen to his voice. Now let's go a little further in verse 7. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run to God and run from evil. Verse 8, your body will glow with health and your very bones will vibrate with life. Oh, I love that picture. Your very life, man, your very life, your body will glow with health. It's a sign of abundance. And then he said, your very bones will vibrate with life because you're learning to trust God. You're learning to run to him, not trying to figure things out yourself, but inviting God into that process to help you achieve those shared goals. Which brings us to our last point, the love factor. The most crucial factor in football, a football team's success, is their passion for the game. Now, I kind of come from the camp that most any professional team, NFL, baseball, whatever it is, can win on any given day because they're good. They're the elite of the elite in their sport. And often what makes a team a winner and ones that have a losing record, it's not always ability, but it is some small things that are so important, like passion and love. Because if you have passion toward it, you're going to sacrifice even more. You're going to go the extra mile. So you cannot forget that love is our driving force. Going back to 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. If we could just practice that. It keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Is always hopeful. Endures through every circumstance. And what we know is this. Love is a choice. Love is a decision. I want to give you a quote from C.S. Lewis, that great Christian thinker and writer of the last century. He said, "Love is not affectionate feeling, but a steady wish for the loved person's ultimate good as far as it can be attained." And this quote underscores the idea that love goes beyond emotions. It's a deliberate choice to desire and work toward the best for the other person. It's about making the decision to be patient, be kind, forgiving, and selfless, just like Jesus loves us. Finally, we talk about love. We talk about this idea of the love factor. Above all, love God first and foremost. Love God first and foremost. Jesus said the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. Let me tell you what happens when you love God this way. When you love this God this way with every ounce of fiber within you, he begins to pour his love through you. And he'll take that heart that is stony, that heart that is hard, and he'll give you a heart that is pliable, a heart that is after him. When you love God this way, he'll take away that anger caused by hurt and by betrayal, and he'll place his love there. See, the only way that we can love the way he wants us to love is we first love God. As we put God first in our life, you'll find something happening. The Holy Spirit is shedding abroad, manifesting God's love in you. You say, "Well, Pastor, you don't understand what my husband put me through. You don't understand what my wife put me through. You don't know what my kids put me through." Hear me. I know God knows. And I promise you, if you'll pursue first the kingdom of God, he'll pour a love in you, a love full of grace, a love full of compassion, and he'll begin to wipe away some of that hurt, and he'll help you love one another as he intends for you to love. It's amazing how this happens. Now, let's be honest. In the natural, it thinks, "Well, I just got to love myself more. I just got to love people better. I just got to love my wife better. And I get those words. The truth of the matter is, if we love God better, we love God more, there's a reciprocal thing that happens. As we pour ourselves into that relationship, He pours His love into us. And we find ourselves, we're loving our spouse, our wife, as we should love them. We're loving our husband as God intends us to love. In the natural, it doesn't seem right, because in the natural, it seems you got to put the other person first. Put God first. And you'll see the miraculous taking place in your heart. Because His love is transformational. Did you hear me? His love is transformational. His love will change you. His love will transform you. His love will empower you. His love will lift you higher. That's how we love one another. That's how we build strong and healthy marriages. That's how we build strong and healthy families. That's how we win the Super Bowl of all Super Bowls. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Can we stand together? And as GT Worship leads us, can we lift our hands and worship to God? We trust in you, Lord. We trust in you, Lord.